Genesis chapter 4, I want to leave with you verses 6 and 7. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. I want to consider with you, the Lord here speaks to Cain. The Lord speaks to Cain. Now the context of these words is that Abel and Cain were involved in the public worship of God. And they were making their offerings. Abel's offering, which involved the fat of the flock, was accepted. It was accepted because he was accepted. But Cain, the Lord did not have respect unto Cain. The Lord did not accept Cain. And he did not accept Cain's offering. And however Cain come to know this and to feel it, he was angry. He was very angry, the Bible says. Verse 5, Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. So now this man is a bitter man. He's an angry man. And he has, as it were, brought this anger, and he's carrying this anger about him. Because he's been made aware that he's not accepted. He's been rejected. The Lord won't accept his offering. And that is referred to in the Bible, in the book of Jude, as the way of Cain. This way of will worship, this way of thinking that you can come to God any way you like, that the Lord just has to accept you as you are, and that if the Lord doesn't accept you, that you can, you know, persecute the righteous, you can persecute the godly. This is referred to as the way of Cain. And the way of Cain is a way that typifies the way that sinners want to be right with God without the proper means of acceptance. And a way of unbelief. In a way of avoiding the gospel and the mediator. In the way of empty religion, which just leads to self-righteousness and jealousy and persecution of the true saints. And so there's no greater curse on the earth than empty religion and a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And this is Cain. He represents that way. He typifies that way, the way of works, the way of self-righteousness. And that way is prevalent today. And the issue is always the same. It's not of works. God doesn't accept us on the grounds of works. It's by faith and through faith alone and faith in Jesus Christ. So we have this going on today. Man works and goes in the way of Cain. And they seem to be content with a wee bit of church, a wee bit of religion, an offering of any kind. They just think the Lord just has to accept their offering and their works and their prayers, and so on. And they go on in this way. And they get angry with the gospel. And whenever they're challenged by the word of God, and whenever they're challenged by men and women of faith, whenever they're told they're sinners, and they have to be accepted through Jesus Christ, they get angry. And their countenance falls, as with Cain here, and they rise up. And sometimes they even persecute a murderer, as Cain turned out to be. And that's very often just the history of the world. That's not what has happened. Christians have always been persecuted, always been martyred. And why? It's because they were accepted by God. They had peace with God. But those who persecuted them, they didn't. They didn't have peace with God. They had no peace in themselves, no peace with the Lord. And so this way of Cain is represented here for us in this man. And he's very wrath, very wrathful, very angry. And wrath is a deadly thing, men and women. It's a dangerous, soul-destroying sin. And rage and anger, if it's not put away and not contained and not repented of, and men are not converted from, it's a thing that can destroy the soul. And rage and anger has destroyed many a soul. And it's made man a murderer on many occasions. That's why it's the Bible says to hate someone is to murder them, is to kill them, because there's this, it's a seed. Bible says, wrath killeth the foolish man, and envy slayeth the silly one. And that's true. And Cain's on the road to destruction. He's on the road to destroy himself. He has the seed of murder, and indeed, in time, he does murder. Because of this rage, because of this rebellion, because of this stubbornness. And so Cain is in a very dangerous condition. Very wrath. And if you for a moment just leave out verses 6 and 7, which is our text, and you go to verse 8, Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up and slew him. If you just leave out verses 6 and 7, that's the path he's going to kill. He's going to murder. He's going to put his arms around his brother, and then he's going to stab him in the back or whatever he does. Treacherously and wickedly. That's where his heart is taking him. As his countenance falls, that's the plan that's forming in his mind. That's what the rage is doing. But the story is not direct from verse 5 to verse 8. There's something happens in between. And what happens in between is the Lord comes to him and the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And so we have to think about what the Lord is saying to Cain. And I want you to observe, first of all, that the Lord is fully acquainted with the ways of Cain, what's going on in his mind, what's going on in his heart. We're not told that Cain expressed his wrath. He's probably hiding it because he's going to butcher Abel secretly, doesn't want to betray and give advance warning, but his countenance has fallen, but the rage is in his heart. He cunningly murders Abel, and Abel doesn't seem to know anything about it, but the Lord does. That's the thing. And whenever the Lord comes, he sees his heart and he says, why are you filled with wrath? He sees his face. He knows how his countenance has dropped. Maybe Abel didn't notice it. Maybe Adam and Eve didn't notice it. Maybe others of the brothers and sisters in the family didn't notice it. But the Lord did. He saw the face. He saw the heart. And he came and he told Abel about it. The truth of the matter is, men and women, that there is so much that goes on in our hearts and in our lives that are undetected by men. Even hatred, even envy, even murderous thoughts, undetected by men, but there's nothing escapes the detection of God. He sees all. And it's a fundamental of the Christian faith that the mighty God is all present to see every countenance that falls. He is all present to read every heart that is filled with rage. The Bible tells us this all the time. The eyes of the Lord are in every place. Every place. Beholding the evil and the good. The ways of a man, the Bible says, the way of Cain, the ways of a man are before the eyes of the Lord. He sees. He observes and he ponders all his goings. And as he looks at Cain here, and as his eyes behold Cain, and he sees what's going on in his heart, and he knows where his feet are going, he knows where his ponderings of this man are going to lead him, and God stands in his way. He stands in the path of his goings. As he's going to kill his brother, he stands before him. Remember Job said, "Doth not he see my ways? He even counts all my steps." And God is counting Cain's steps. And he knows how many more there is before he takes the plunge and kills his brother. He's counted every step. And now he stands on his way. "I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give to every man according to his ways." There's no creature that is not manifest in his sight. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. But all things and all creatures are opened and naked unto the eyes of God, with whom we all, men and women, have to do. So God knows what's going on in Cain, and he comes to talk to him about it. And that's the thing, you see. He doesn't only know the heart of Cain, he speaks to him about it. And that's a wonderful thing. God is not only all-knowing, he is also gracious and merciful. And here he comes to speak to a stubborn man. I mean, who would? Who would speak to a stubborn man? Who would speak to an angry, raging man? It's the kind of man you would avoid. It's the kind of man you would turn away from. But the Lord comes to speak to this ungodly man. The Lord comes to reason with a man who has murder in his heart and will soon be a murderer in very deed. And this is a wonderful thing, that God should do this. This is a miracle of mercy. This is not just a solitary case either. God doing that. This is just the first case of this. In fact, he did it before with Adam and Eve. Now he's doing it again with Cain. God is always doing this, condescending to speak to wayward man. Condescending to come into the way of a man who's on a course of wickedness and ruin. God does that all the time. Because of his kindness. Because of his long suffering. Remember how Paul said to the sinner, "Do you despise the riches of his goodness and his forbearance and his long suffering? Not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance." And this is God's goodness coming to Cain. This is God's mercy. We know that God is a God of mercy, full of compassion and gracious, long suffering, plenteous in mercy. He speaks to sinners. He warns sinners. He brings a word to sinners. If the Lord should mark iniquities and just leave it at that, who would stand? But he's not just a God who does that. He's a God who comes along and warns and highlights the sin and says this is not right and needs to be put away. That's the kind of God he is. He's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Remember how he said to Israel, in their depravity and in their idolatry and in their terrible backslidden state, how he said, "Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." So God didn't accept Cain. He didn't have respect unto Cain.
He didn't have respect unto Cain's offering, and Cain wasn't accepted by him, but he came to him to bring him warning, to bring a kind of a gospel entreaty to him, to spring the word that would, if it was believed and heeded, would put him in the right place, would put him in the place of acceptance, if he would believe it, and if he would receive it. And so that's the second thing. The Lord condescends in long-suffering grace to stand in the way of this sinner and to speak to him. Let us thirdly observe what it is that the Lord says to Cain. And it is, of course, a word that would bring him to repentance, because it's a word that's pointing out a wrong way. And that's what God does. He points out the sin. He says, this is the sin, this is a defilement, and it needs to be repented of. And that's what's happening here. The Lord points out his sin. He challenges him about it. Why art thou wroth? Why is thy countenance fallen? So he's revealing to Cain, I know you're angry. I know that your countenance is fallen. But why? And it's not that God doesn't know why. God knows why. But it's not logical, the reason of this anger and this countenance falling. It's not right. And he's asking the man to think about it, to think about the logic of it, to think about the morality of it, to think upon the reason for it. And if he looks into the reason for it, he may begin to see that it's wrong, that it's vile, that it shouldn't be so. So the Lord is convicting him with the word. Now, it doesn't work, but it's the word. If it doesn't work, it's not God's fault it doesn't work. It's the sinner's fault in this case. God needs to accompany it with his mighty Holy Spirit, which in this case he doesn't. But it's the word, and it's going to his natural conscience. And so this discovery, this self-discovery should be made. This isn't right. Why, sinner? Why do you not believe the gospel? Why are you angry with God? Why are you rejecting Christ? Why do you not pray? Why do you not seek the Lord? Why do you have these sins, and why do you have these thoughts? And why do you have this attitude to God and the things of God? Why? Why are you an angry man? Why are you a transgressor of the divine laws? Why have you the envious eye? Why does your countenance fall when good happens to men? Why? Why, oh why, do you live thus? Why dost thou tarry in your sin? Why are you angry to be reminded you are a sinner? Why are you raging whenever you're told you must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved and you need to be converted? Why are you angry? Why are you angry when you're told you're on your way to hell, you're a lost sinner, you need to be born again? Why? And God is asking him why. Because the sinner needs to be brought to a right mind. The sinner needs to be brought to a right thinking. Like the prodigal, before he came back to the Father's house, the Bible says he came to himself. He came to realize what he was. He came to himself to see himself as a rebellious, stubborn sinner who had foolishly broken away from his Father's house. He came to see himself as lost and helpless and undone. He came to see himself as one who needs quickly to get back to the Father's house. The Lord is speaking to him that he may come to himself, that he may see himself, that he may know himself, that he may get sense and see sense. And so God calls to Cain, and he's basically saying, turn. Turn, Cain, turn around. Don't continue down this course. Don't continue down that route to meet your brother in the field and to kill him. Turn! Turn ye quickly from your wicked ways. This is God saying this. The Lord pursues the sinner. And the Lord very often may even pursue him to the very gates of death. But the word is always the same. It's a word that points out sin and the need to repent and turn from it and believe. It's always the same. And God is pursuing sinners, calling them to repent. Remember how he said to Israel, "What iniquity have your fathers found in me, that they are gone from me, and have walked after vanity and are become vain? O generation, hear the word of the Lord. Have I been a wilderness unto you, a land of darkness?" You see, here's idolaters. Here's people who've turned their back on God. Here's people who are going to the heathen temples and carrying out all kinds of abominations to please the nature gods. And here's God coming to them and reasoning with them and saying, "Have I been a land of darkness? Have I been a wilderness to Israel? What iniquity have I committed against your fathers? What sin have they found in me that you have gone after these idols?" Imagine God coming and speaking to them. He eventually carries them away into Babylon and all of that. But he stands in the way in his long-suffering grace, calling them. Remember the Lord Jesus? "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you kill the prophets. You stone them which are sent unto you. You'll soon hang me on a tree. How often would I have gathered you as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings. I stood in the way. I would have taken you in. I called you to repentance. I begged you to turn. I stretched out my arms all the day to you to take you in. But you would not." And this is the same thing. Why are you angry? Why is your countenance fallen? It doesn't have to be this way, Cain. And so there is a word of conviction. A searching word. Questions are always searching. The word to Cain also contains a promise of acceptance. You see, Cain is rejected. Cain is not accepted, but he can be accepted. And he offers a word of acceptance. The sinner who stands as Cain did will also be rejected. If you stand on a works righteousness, if you stand as you are, you'll always be rejected. But there is still hope. "If thou doest well," the Lord says, "shalt thou not be accepted?" There can be acceptance for you, Cain. If you do well, if you do right. Cain is envious at his brother's acceptance and joy. He is angry because his brother has peace with God and he doesn't. He is angry that Abel is content and humble and at peace, and he's raging. Like the troubled sea within his breast. No peace to the wicked. Not a peace with himself, not a peace with God, and can't be at peace with men either. That's the sinner. But God says there can be acceptance.
You can have Abel's acceptance. And there's only one way of acceptance, and it's not in the way of Cain. It's in the way of Abel, which is in Christ, through faith. Because that's why Abel was accepted. Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, the Bible says, by which he obtained witness that he was a righteous man, God testifying by his gifts, and he being dead yet speaketh. And how did he offer that God, that offering unto God? Well, what's Hebrews 11 about? By faith. He had faith. Faith in what? Faith in the promise. Faith in the gospel. Faith in the promised seed of the woman. Faith that one would come along. Faith that was pictured and portrayed in the fat of the offerings and in the blood of the lamb. He had faith. But Abel had not this faith. He brought of the fruit of the ground, which was cursed. He thought the ground was great, but it's cursed. He thought he could come without death, without sacrifice, without blood, without one standing in the gap, one obtaining the price, paying the price. Abel put his hand on the head of the offering. Now, when it was accepted for him to make atonement for him, but Cain had no head to put his hand upon to be an offering for him to make atonement for. He had no faith. And so God tells Cain to get in the way of acceptance. He tells Cain, you can find acceptance as Abel did. At the minute he's rejected, God can not accept the person of the wicked, except he has faith in Christ. What does Paul say? He hath made us accepted in the beloved. There's a way of acceptance for you, sinner. And it's in the way of Abel, not in the way of Cain. And so this is a gospel promise. If you do well, you'll be accepted. If you do well the way Abel did well, you'll be accepted. If you repent and turn, if you confess your sinfulness, if you hope in mercy, if you trust in grace, and if you believe and have faith in the seed of the woman, then you will be like your brother. Will you not be accepted? And the implication is you will be accepted. If you repent and reform and turn and bring thy sacrifice in a biblical way, thou shalt be accepted. Your sin will be pardoned. You will have comfort and peace and the blessings and the contentment of a righteous man. And so God brings him the gospel entreaty, the gospel appeal. And sinner, you have to be accepted. And the only way you will find acceptance is in Jesus Christ, through faith in the Savior, turning from your sins and coming for cleansing through his blood. The word to Cain also conveys a solemn warning. For it says, and if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. Now there are two interpretations of this. Both are valid, and it's maybe difficult to draw the conclusion which is right, though I lean to the first, but I may explain the second later on. In other words, God is saying, my word, if you will reject my word, and if you will reject the sacrifice, and if you will not come in the way that Abel came, if you don't do well, then sin lies at your door, Cain. And that's a warning. That's a fearful thing. And the word lying here is like a word that's used for the beast. Crouching. The ravenous beast is crouching at the door, waiting for the door to open, to leap in and to get the victim and to ravage the victim. And sins like that, it's a ravenous beast, like the beast in the time of famine in the villages. Normally they're out in the fields and nobody bothers, but in the time of famine the beasts come into the field, into the village. And they wait for opportunities, like the adults leaving and the door being left ajar, and then they leap in and they get the child or the youngster or even a young person. Maybe even an adult if they're desperate enough. Leaping to devour. So starved, so desperate that they would wait at the doors of the house of a man to pounce and take the human prey as the last resort to preserve their existence. And God is telling Cain, you're angry. You're angry with your younger brother who belongs to the Savior, and you will not repent and you will not come to faith in the Redeemer. And instead, this rage is going to break out and sin is going to leap on you and devour you. And you're going to go down the road so bad that you'll be destroyed and there'll be no remedy and no recovery. And that's the way it turned out, in fact. Cain, beware. A greater sin lies at the door ready to destroy you. You think this rage is nothing. You think this is little. But I tell you, there's something at the door that's about to leap on you to ruin you. It's a warning. A warning that a greater sin is about to be committed. God saw it at the door. It was the sin of murder. It devoured him. It ate him all up. And he murdered. And he was ruined. You may think it a little pet thing, Cain, to bring into your heart this anger. You may think this is very little and nothing to worry about. You can take it into your bosom and you think it won't go out and it won't destroy you. But God is warning you. No sin is a trivial thing, men and women. It always leads to greater things. Until finally the great beast itself leaps on you and devours you. The sinner who doesn't repent will perish. The sinner who doesn't turn will go further, further, further down the road away from God until at last he is eternally destroyed. Sin will take you further than you think you're going now or you would ever want to go. It takes you on. The only way to stop is to turn. And so this is God telling Cain, you will go further and further, deeper and deeper into sin. A false worshipper, but you will become a murderer. You know, Judas Iscariot didn't start out as a betrayer of Christ. And Pilate didn't begin his political life as the crucifier of the Son of God. But because of their rejection of the Savior, they became those things. If you reject Christ and refuse the way of acceptance with God, it will bring you down a path of destruction. You need to turn, sinner. And this is God's telling Cain, sin will destroy you and you will perish at its hands. In other words, this is a metaphor for not only going further down sin, but also a metaphor for
the punishment that sin will bring upon you. Sin is piled up at your door. The punishment will fall there. It lies as if it sleeps. Doesn't make a noise. It's quiet. All this rage within, all this sin within, but it's lying there quietly. Looks like nothing's going to happen. But one day soon it'll be awaked. And it'll appear. And the punishment won't tarry. So Cain, beware. Turn. Why will you die? Why will you die? Turn. Turn around. Don't go down this road. This is God standing before the man. I think there's another interpretation that's quite common. That this is a further intimation of mercy. If thou doest not well, sin, that is, a sin offering lies crouching at the door. A lamb is outside there. There's a beast outside there. You can go that way, Cain. You can go to the sin offering. Or you can go on down this route of murder. And there's some that take that viewpoint. And the sense would be, if you do right and don't sin and live righteously, you'll be accepted. But seeing that you can't do that, you haven't done well to this point, you're a sinner. But there's a sin offering line at the door for you. And sometimes this word for sin is translated sin offering very often. Not in Genesis, but in the book of Exodus. You have it there, for example, the flesh of the bullock and his skin and his dung shalt thou burn with fire without the camp. It is a sin offering. And that's the very same word here, sin offering. And so some people, you have to really translate it in its context. It could mean either. It can also mean punishment of sin. It can also mean an offering for sin. And really the context is the thing that brings it out. So you have to decide on the context here. And I think the context is leading to the first interpretation. But if that second interpretation is valid, there is an application here. This anger is in your heart, Cain. And you're probably wondering, how will I ever be accepted now? You're probably giving up hope and despairing that you could ever be accepted with God. But Cain, I assure you, there's a sin offering at the door. You can be right with me. If you just get off this path, if you just turn and put your hand on the head of the offering, there's an escape. There's a propitiation. You're a sinner. But there's one who bears sin. There's one who takes away sin. There's a Savior. There's a great sin offering at the door. You remember him who said, "Behold, I stand at the door. I stand at the door and knock. If any man open the door, I'll come into him." Cain, open the door. There's one at hand. There's a Savior available. Don't go down the road of murder. Open the door. Open the door to the sin offering. Open the door to the Christ. And so that there is that sense in which it may be taken. So God warns him and appeals to him and calls him to turn and repent and believe and be accepted. But lastly, although God did stand in the way of Cain, and though God brought his word to Cain, and though God made these entreaties to Cain, and though Cain was spoken to by God, this is the thing. He still perished. He still perished. Cain heard the word of God. He heard it from the lips of God himself, but he didn't give heed. He understood the message, but he didn't obey the exhortation. He didn't find acceptance. He didn't seek mercy. He didn't turn from his wicked ways. He went on down. He went on ahead. He went on in his wickedness. He went on in his rebellion. He went on to kill and to murder and to perish. Even though we heard the word. You know, you can hear the word. You hear sermon after sermon. And you can still perish in your sin and be lost. There are many in hell whom the Lord spoke to by his word, but they were never saved. They resisted. They rejected the holy commandment. They trampled underfoot the blood of Christ, and like Cain, perished. And so be warned, sinner. Turn and don't go on in the way of Cain. What was the problem? Why did the word not profit him? The Bible tells us it wasn't mixed with faith. He had no faith. He heard it, but it was not received with faith. It needs to be mixed with faith. The promises need to be taken in, and the warnings need to be believed, and the entreaties need to be believed and obeyed. The obedience of faith. And Cain had not faith. This was a fundamental difference between him and Abel. That's why he's not in Hebrews 11 and Abel is. The gospel came to him in word only. That was all. It didn't come to him in power. It didn't come to him in the Holy Ghost. It came in word only. And he went on. Sinners need the word to come to them in the power of the Holy Ghost. And it needs to be mixed with faith in their hearts. And sinner, you need to believe the gospel. Let us pray.